Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello one and all, welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the automotive and automotive social media worlds. I am your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass. This is Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Good evening.
Good.
Yeah. No, that's when it goes out, mate.
Oh, sorry. Well done. Oh, you're so pro. Yeah. I'm not quite at Tony's level yet in terms of these production. You may be watching us here on youtube.com/behindtheglass. If you are, hello. These are our ugly mugs. You may also be listening to us only. That is available on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass or on iTunes podcasts. If you are listening to us, come subscribe to us here on YouTube. If you're watching us, go listen to us over on SoundCloud or iTunes. It's a wonderful world.
Not that we're desperate.
Not that we're desperate, but click that subscribe button now and give it a thumbs up.
Please.
Come on, please, and turn on notifications as well. We need your help. Anyway, this is going well. We're now into our second month of podcast, Tony. We've done well. It's February 2018 and things are moving forward. I want to get straight into things. I don't want to mess around too much today. We do a lot of sort of this housekeeping at the beginning of these podcasts, don't we? Today, I'm just going to go straight in, 30 seconds later, with the Lister Thunder. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I saw a tweet.
Okay, good. So, boys and girls, this is a new car that has just been launched by Lister, who are one of Britain's oldest sort of automotive brands, and it is essentially an F-Type heavily tuned. They are saying, oh, it's based on an F-Type. No, it is an F-Type.
They're like the Singer of Porsche, right? Similar?
No, not really. You think they're more of a sort of Haman or Mansory, or they probably take a bit of an insult to that, and they are probably a little bit more specialist. Yeah, we all apologise, but essentially they've taken an F-Type and given it 100 horsepower more than the F-Type SVR.
Okay,
so it's 666 horsepower. 0 to 60, it's 0.5 seconds quicker 0 to 60.
Four wheel drive, of course.
Yeah, I would assume. Actually, you know what? I don't know. I should have done some more research. Classic me. But essentially, they've got new carbon fiber front and rear bumpers, and it's this sort of like crazy hardcore. It's 99 units, just under £140,000. But I'm very underwhelmed, Tony.
Why?
Because now this harks back to something else, which we probably need to talk about at some point. My desire for an F-Type, a lightweight F-Type. I'm sure it's a very difficult thing to give a car a lot more power. You know, it probably sounds easy to us. Oh, yeah, just give 100 more horsepower. I know that there'll be a lot of mechanical engineering that needs to go into achieving that feat. But I don't really care. Like, it looks just like an F-Type. It looks like an SVR without a wing. It's got a bit of green on it. And it's got 100 more horsepower. I have never felt like the SVR was slow.
Don't you think they should tone it down a bit and do like a 500 horsepower GT3 competitor?
That's what I mean.
That's what you mean?
That is okay, what I mean. Fine. And I talked about it when I went out to do the Formula E with Jaguar. The fact that when the SVR, the actual SVR came out, I was disappointed because whilst it was more powerful and blah, 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 it just felt a bit safe. And I know that an F-Type customer is traditionally someone who likes to do grand tours, to cruise, to be comfortable, to have all the luxury, but also have the power. It's like a Jaguar ethos.
Yeah, yeah.
But how exciting would like a hardcore GT3 Performante variant of an F-Type be with a big old roll cage, less weight, you know, crazy power to the rear wheels, not all-wheel drive. And I just feel like Lister have just come along, and rather than taking up that challenge, they've just gone, right, let's give it more power.
So a bit like Brabus do to Merc.
Yeah, like, okay. I'm impressed. And as I say, it's 99 units. It's 140 grand, which I don't think is that much. It's about 30 grand over an actual SVR. But I spec'd an SVR once to 125.
I was going to say, you can nearly spend that on an SVR.
Yeah,
right?
So it's actually relatively affordable in that sense. But I'm underwhelmed because I still think that there's this need and a personal want and desire for this lightweight F-Type. And I talked about it when I went and did the Formula E, that maybe I just do it myself.
Yeah.
Maybe I just go and find like a Boggo, cheapo, the cheapest F-Type I can find, rip it apart and try and make some kind of hardcore track-focused road-going F-Type.
Well, that could be a challenge for you.
That could be a challenge, yeah. Right? I wouldn't know what I was doing. I'd have to employ a lot of different suppliers to help me because mechanically I am not all
terrible.
There. Yeah, terrible. But I don't know. It would be super interesting to find out because maybe it's just not the car that, you know, people don't want that type of F-Type.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as I say, the usual Jaguar customer wants luxury, wants class, wants a lot of leather, wants to be comfortable. I'm the only idiot who wants bucket seats and a harder suspension. Because that's my complaint about the F-Type. Everyone in the world knows I love an F-Type. Do you love an F-Type?
Yeah, I do. They're really good.
When you, because you may not remember, but Tony was actually responsible for selling my F-Type. And that was like one of the first F-Types you'd sold, right? Or you didn't know much about them.
I didn't know a huge amount about
them.
Yeah. I did a couple, but...
You had a couple. And I remember when you drove away from them for the first time.
That was the noise.
Quicksilver exhaust.
Yeah.
First time I'd ever heard my exhaust from outside the car. And I literally heard you for about 5 miles.
And I rang you.
Yeah,
you rang me. This is freaking loud.
That was my impression of your laugh, by the way. Yeah. Sounded a bit like a parrot. So this list of them, the thing, a lot of people have been tagging me, a lot of people have been saying, oh, sell the Ferrari, go and buy this. As I say, it's not the F-Type that I lust after, and it motivates me even more to try and go out there and create my own, like, project car and amazing thing. But I have to be realistic that I'm going to be buying a V6. I can't afford to buy a V8. I'm looking for the cheaper. But that could add into my lightweight ethos. V6, lighter than
V8. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or we can beg Jaguar to make a GT3 competitor.
Mm,
please.
They did just make that GT4 race car, which is the Race for Help for Heroes? Race for Heroes?
Yeah,
what's it called? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
which is taking part in British Touring Car, I think. Anyway, it is a proper race car, but I want a road-going version. Come on, Jag, please. Right, well, anyway, let's part that for now. I think maybe we need to have a separate discussion about trying to find the cheapest F-Type in Europe. Yeah. And then I need to go and speak to a mechanic to understand if that's actually possible. Sam, if you take the seats out, it won't work.
He's not mechanically minded, but he's got a Ferrari 360. Yeah.
Which is why I spent all day at AV Engineering yesterday. Well, they did all the work and I just got in their way.
Drinking tea.
Oh, my God, they make such good coffee.
Yeah,
By the way, if you're a Ferrari owner, switch to AV just so you can have the coffee whilst you're waiting for them to do their work. But speaking of taking seats out, which I just mentioned right at the end of that last little segment, I just wanted to move on to my 718 Cayman, actually, because I sort of half filmed a video this week and then forgot to finish it, so I now need to update everybody in this podcast. The next modifications for the 718 Cayman S. It's obviously been wrapped by Yanomize now. Thoughts on the green, Tony?
Like it.
No, green crew.
Oh, yeah, I got a green car.
Yeah, green crew. We should be convoying everywhere.
No, I didn't copy him. I never copied you.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
You went, what colour should I get my car? green crew. Just like you copied me by buying a 488 after I got the 360.
No. I got the 488 first.
Yeah, I know. Then I got the car ceramic coated by the genius that is Stuart F1 Wax. Who was he responsible? Did he do some of the PPF? Did he new car
done
preparation?
The detailing for the Hurricane.
Can't recommend him enough. Your car looks stunning now parked outside. Again, we are at Tony's, we're in your office now, aren't we?
This will be the sales office.
Sales office in the new showroom. So more on that to come soon. We are going to be doing a big reveal video once this is all complete with drones and things like that. Anyway, but next modifications to the Porsche. You know, I got corrected today by a man in the garage. He said, is that a Ferrari? And I went, oh, I wish. I went, no, it's a
I've got one of them.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
No, I was trying to be nice. And I went, no, it's a Porsche. He went, it's a what? I went, it's a Porsche. He goes, no, it's a Porsche. Come on.
But that's right, though.
Give me a break. Anyway, next two modifications. Exhaust, which I've been banging on about for a long time. The guys down at GAD Tuning came down to the unit when Stu was working on my car and basically... wetted themselves about the opportunity to get their hands on that car and are going to be building a custom 101 bespoke system for it.
Perfect.
So yeah, we put it up on a ramp. They looked at it. They were like stupidly excited that this is super easy to change. We can do this. We can do a lot of things that I didn't understand. I said, is it going to be loud? They went, yes. I was like, okay, cool, do it.
That's all you care about.
Yeah, I was like, well, I need tone. But I said loud. So that was maybe a mistake.
Will it spit flames?
They did say spit flames. Did they? They genuinely said spit flames. I nearly called Paul Wallace. But essentially, it's all happening because later in February, I'm doing my first European road trip in the Porsche, my first big adventure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, okay, this is going to make you be sick now. I've done over 3,000 miles in that car already.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Tony's like, when are we selling
Lucky
it?
You're rich, mate.
Yeah, no, I'm not. But I haven't done any big adventures in it yet. So I'm doing my first European road trip end of February. So the exhaust modifications are hopefully happening before then. But the other modification, which again, let's go back to seats, how we got onto this. God, I'm really, it's a long way round today. Yeah. I'm going to be putting houndstooth seats, or I'm going to be reupholstering the seats with the classic iconic Porsche houndstooth material. You know okay. the one I mean?
Yeah, which is the
black
one
black and white.
Okay, in the anniversary edition.
Yes, exactly. Okay, the 911 50th anniversary.
For people that don't know,
old classic Porsches that have this black and white houndstooth type look. I absolutely love it. And because I've now got this kind of heritage look and feel going on with the car, with the wrap and the wheels and everything, I saw a few cars online with the houndstooth and I was like, it feels like the final component.
And do you know what? I think you posted online as well. There was a green 911. That,
yes.
That was like more like the green of my Hurricane.
Yes.
That green.
Exactly. That amazing. Sick. Amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think it will be the final component. Of course, it's going to be done so that we can reverse the car back to factory original spec as and when we want to sell it, because that would be, I think, quite a punchy thing to do to reupholster
it. It's only
it.
Seat trimming, anyway.
It's seat trimming, it's only, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So the guys, the amazing guys down at Sexton's. Who Tony introduced me to and did the audio for the Abarth, are going to be doing that. I wanted to try and get it done before the road trip, but I think it's unrealistic. They said that by the time they get the material in and blah, 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 and trying to do the exhaust at the same time, and that will happen in
when
March.
You get back.
Yeah, in March, I reckon. Anyway, so that's 718 updates. Very exciting. But let's move on to a few topics that have been suggested by you guys on Twitter. Now, this is the first time we've had topics suggested from Twitter. And
it's good, though.
It's great, but in my classic unprofessional way, I've forgotten to write down who asked the questions.
And you forgot to tell me until you got here.
Yes, exactly. So if you submitted these points, thank you so much. I will somehow get back to you and thank you for it, and hopefully you are happy that we are talking about them. So first up, this is a question for you, Tony. Best way to haggle when buying a car?
The first big tip is, if you're serious, don't do it over the phone. Come down to the dealership.
Okay.
You'll be taken a lot more seriously.
Interesting.
If you do it like that, and you're here and you're ready to do a deal. Every dealer in the country will do a deal. As well, if you're buying a normal run-of-the-mill car, a Golf, a Focus, don't expect to get 20% off, or the cars
yeah.
aren't free.
So if there's a car for 10 grand, don't expect to get it for 6.
No.
Yeah.
Don't even expect to get it for 9.
It's a few hundred quid.
It's a gesture.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's so competitive now. The margins are not big at all.
So dealers have got very small money to make any kind of profit or money in that, so they're going to be very hesitant to give you, or they aren't going to be able to give you a lot of money off.
No, they don't have it in the cars.
However, if you're going in to buy a 488 or an Aventador or 458,
yeah,
you could argue 10, 15 grand off in some cases.
Depending on one time of the year.
Okay.
Depending on the dealers that are in stock.
Okay.
Whether they're having any inquiries on it, that always, you know, if
sure.
someone wants, if they've got someone that will pay.
It's not a guarantee,
no,
but
no,
there's
no.
usually the...
There's more.
Would I be right in saying the more expensive the car, the more room you've got to manoeuvre on price, usually?
But, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to talk exact margins because that wouldn't be fair to the rest of the industry, but we all work similar
okay.
in terms of margins.
Sure.
It does go up the more expensive the car. However, it gets to a point where you can't have any more,
sure.
essentially.
No, that makes sense. That totally makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And are we talking about used cars here or new cars or both?
So don't go into Ferrari or Porsche and expect 15 grand off a new yeah. Ferrari or Porsche, because it's not happening.
You'll walk out
yeah,
very
yeah,
unhappy.
They won't even make you a coffee.
The worst.
But to be fair, even a used Ferrari or Porsche, you won't get 15 grand off.
Okay.
You just won't. You might... I don't even think... 15 grand's a lot of money.
It's a ton of money. It's a ton of money. And you've got to think, if somebody's putting a car up 150 grand or 100 grand, it's not really a punt. It's usually because that's where the market's at.
If
you look on Auto Trader, for example, here in the UK, there's usually quite an even spread, an obvious spread between a low mileage, highly spec car and then a high mileage, lowly spec car. And that's kind of the operating window for that model.
Yeah.
So if you suddenly try and overprice that, obviously you're bumming yourself a bit.
And as well, which doesn't help with the higher end stuff, there's a thing called sale or return.
Okay.
So obviously the dealer margin in a sale or return car, because it's not their car, they haven't paid for the car, isn't normally as much as if they own the car. But again, it makes it a false market.
Sure.
Because they'll put cars up for not what they're worth. They're just plucking a figure out there to see how they get on.
That's
not what they're worth.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because but the dealers don't care, because it's not their money. It's the customer's money, isn't it? So...
Okay.
That makes it harder for us to price them, but yeah.
And in terms of actual tactics, you said don't try and do anything over the phone. So let's say you got to a point where you're deadly serious about buying a car. You come down. Do you test drive first? Do you look at the... at what point do you go, is there any chance to get some money off here? And do you ask, or do you say, would you accept X amount?
So you can loosely speak about it over the phone, but normally the serious people that I deal with, especially on high-end stuff, money doesn't come into it.
Okay.
But it's when they get here. I normally find people that ring me at 8 o'clock at night and offer me an amount of money for a car over the phone, they never come in.
Okay.
I never see them.
Okay.
So I literally do not talk about money. That's the price of the car.
Okay, blah, blah, blah. Fine.
And we predominantly, that's what we do anyway. And I think most of the prestige dealers do that. However, when you get there and you're in front of them and you're ready to do a deal... test drive, you never really learn a lot about a test drive. It's a 10 or 15 minute drive.
Absolutely.
What are you trying to achieve in that 10 or
15 minutes? It's a weird rigmarole that we all go through.
Like,
steering feels all right, and there's no creaks coming. But I don't think anyone really knows what they're doing on a test drive. Because also, you're so excited to be in this car that you might be about to buy, you kind of forget to notice anything else.
That's right. And in the high-end stuff, Ferrari, Lamborghini, you'll be pushed to... I mean, we don't let people go out in that stuff anyway. And who cares what they drive like?
Yeah.
You want a Lamborghini. Ferrari, exactly.
You know what it's going to be like at the end of the day. But I do think it's more important for the mid-level stuff. If you're coming to test drive a 30 grand Cayenne diesel, you want to make sure that it does actually... turn on and run, and dodgy old Range Rover. I'm not talking about you, Tony. Before you get too sensitive.
Too protective.
I just mean that it's very different markets if you're coming to buy a supercar to your everyday banger. And I think it is advisable to take a test drive, because I think you do need to check the car actually turns on and works.
Yeah. So what happens as well is, obviously at that point of the market, there's more competition. So you're not just looking at a Cayenne, you can be looking at a Q7, an X5, a Range Rover. So maybe you do want to drive them.
Sure.
But again, that's, from our point of view, the drive is the last thing we do.
Fine.
Essentially.
Okay.
So we do the deal, and if it's, the cars, all our cars are checked, much like most other good dealers.
Yeah, absolutely. No, of course. I mean, I think we're trying to talk as a vague general overview here, because obviously whilst Tony does cater to most people's needs in terms of cars available on his forecourt, there are going to be people who are based all over the world, but also all over the UK, who will be going through these experiences at different places, not just somewhere as reputable as Gravelwood Car Sales.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
But I do think it's interesting because I've gone through varying stages of being great and being useless at negotiating car deals. Funnily enough, I'm usually better at negotiating for a friend or family member than I am myself, because when it's me, I get overexcited. I just want the car. And so, I sort of happily accept kind of anything, whilst I can be a bit more brash when it's somebody else and I'm like, oh, I'm taking the piss.
Of course.
Yeah. It's hard to get emotionally unattached to negotiate the best deal. Now, just quickly on financing, because a lot of the new car stuff, but also used cars, most dealerships now will push financing in one way or another because it's a great way for them to make money, right?
Of course.
And that can sometimes bamboozle the customer and it makes it harder to work out whether you're getting a good deal or not. Fundamentally, the retail price of the car is what you want to hammer down on, right?
But the finance rate as well. So on a cheaper car, so say under 15,000.
Oh, hello! Something just started up outside. It sounded like a hurricane. Well, someone nicking your car?
Oh no! I was just about to say. Can
do you
I
want
check?
To go? Do you, let's
no,
go and look.
No, I'm joking, sauce. So I've got another one. I got a 488, did I tell you?
Oh my God, you did. We're not talking this. We determined to not talk about the 488 this episode. They're moving your car
fine.
Inside your old showroom.
Okay,
oh, it does look good. I have soap in the window.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so sorry, going back. So we want to look at a 15 or 20 grand car.
So under 15 grand, sometimes you'll get banks like Tesco's or Sainsbury's or your own high street bank. The APR is more competitive than a car loan, essentially.
Okay.
You're just a lot more protected with a car loan than you are with a personal loan.
Sure. Because they can come after you for your house and things. Or both of them can, actually, can't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, both of them can. Yeah. But the car's the asset.
Sure.
And as a consumer, you're more heavily protected if you buy a car, which is why the rates are slightly higher.
Okay.
However, as you go up in the numbers in terms of supercars,
yeah,
it's then the other way round.
Okay.
Because a high street bank or Tesco's or Sainsbury's, they won't give you 200 grand. And then we have a thing called PCPs, obviously.
Of course.
Which is, I think, is another whole episode.
It's a whole other episode. There is a car financing episode, and I think we have to get the guys from Magnitude along for that.
Yeah,
so
I think so.
If you don't know, my last 13,000 cars have been financed through Magnitude. They are absolute geniuses. I've mentioned them a lot when I'm revealing new cars. Tony as well does some work with them, and
yeah.
I think we should probably do, and we will do, a finance-specific episode where we can really plow into figures and advice. And I did try and do a summary episode around when I had the Ferrari and the Porsche revealed, but I think there were so many questions that it feels only right to do a podcast on it.
Basically, what I'm saying is that as you go up in the values, the rate changes.
Okay.
And it's very, very competitive at that point in terms of why would you use your own money competitive?
Sure. But as I say, that's where it gets even harder as a haggler.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can go in and go, right, I've got 5 grand or 10 grand off my car somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they send you the finance figures and you're like, well, this is still crazily expensive because maybe they're trying to make up that money with a high APR or higher monthly payments or whatever it might be. And If you're not into the finance world, if you haven't experienced car finance in the UK, it's very different all over the world. All these things like APR and balloons and all these things might be confusing you a bit. So I'm sorry if we're taking you a little bit down a strange path. But I do find it interesting because there are so many options now as a customer to buy a car. The people that walk into your dealership, Tony, and you've got everything here from, you know, 488 and the 570S is sold.
It's
570S
gone.
Is gone. You're selling supercars down to, I saw, you got an S1 in stock now?
Yeah.
You know, like you got a complete range. So you must get very different customer bases. And for those of them that are coming here that I want to give advice on, how to haggle Tony down on his on his prices.
Don't be too hard.
But it is. It's a confusing marketplace. Yeah. So yes, I think you're right. Maybe there's another episode to do on this, but haggler's tips, basically be aware of the sort of market segment that you're in.
And I'll tell you another thing as well, and we've built this relationship and I have lots of regular customers. Find yourself a good reputable dealer and deal with them.
Build up that relationship.
Yeah, build a relationship with them, because that's the hardest part of buying a car. Because the car industry in general has got such a bad name.
Sure.
Although myself and lots of other independent dealers and main dealers do the job properly.
Yeah.
But there are still, like in any industry, there are still people that don't do the job.
Dodgy properly. Dealers.
Dodgy dealers, exactly.
Right, we've got to move on because, as I say, we're getting a bit caught up with this. I think it's a super interesting topic, though, so there will be more. But on to the next Twitter-generated topic, Formula One. Now, there's going to be a lot of Formula One stuff here on the podcast. I'm a mega Formula One fan, if you didn't know.
So
is Tony. Yeah. But who do you support? You're a Vettel man, aren't you?
I'm a Vettel man, because of Ferrari.
Oh, of course.
You like Hamilton.
Yeah, I love Hamilton, but I love Ferrari, so I'm a bit conflicted in that sense.
And Vettel's your mate, you've been out of it.
I know,
and
but...
And then he killed you.
Yeah, I know, but he's a bit, bit of a dick on track. But yeah, so once the season gets going, we're going to be doing sort of race reviews or race previews, depending on when these episodes be going out, because we just love talking about Formula One. Also got some Formula One-themed guests coming on later in the year.
Vettel?
No, oh my God, can you imagine if it was Vettel? Let's get Vettel on the podcast.
Yeah, come on. You're his mate.
Sebastian.
Please.
Okay, well, that's our challenge. That's our challenge for the year. Get Sebastian Vettel on the podcast. Formula One, Grid Girls. This is the first big topic of Formula One for the year. The announcement that Liberty Media have removed Grid Girls from Formula One.
Shame.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so the world is obviously changing. There's a huge global conversation about women and, you know, female priorities and equality in the workplace and blah, 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 blah. I'm very aware that this is a 98% male channel. So our views may be a bit skewed here, but I want to try and be fair and honest to the 2% female viewers. The biggest thing which I think is a shame about this is it's taken the... decision away from the girls. Why not keep grid people as a thing and maybe make it kids or make it open to both men and women, rather than saying we're going to scrap grid girls and a super iconic part of Formula One.
We were watching
a Hunt Lauda documentary the other day. Me and my girlfriend at home, and she was like, "Look how many girls were in Formula One."
Yeah.
And there are so many less girls. Yeah, it's literally because it was James Hunt. So many less girls these days are involved in the sport, and now that, you know, I'm sure not all girls want to be grid girls, but at least give them that opportunity. Some of them might want to be involved with motorsport somehow and see that as a great way to, you know, to get in, and it's a summer job or whatever. And Liberty Media just ripped that away from them rather than saying it can be boys and girls, it can be kids, it can be anyone.
But then if that's the reason why that's why they've done it, so why can't you have girls as motor racers then?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it.
Yes.
And you know, I think... The argument that a lot of Formula One people will say is that there still hasn't been a girl who's competitive enough yet to take on a Formula One racing.
Have they been allowed?
Well, that's the other thing. I think it's, have they been allowed? And there are plenty of F1 drivers who have got race seats who aren't good enough to be in F1 because they've got money. So, interestingly...
Archie Hamilton.
He definitely was nowhere near Formula One. Not a hope in hell. Love you, Archie. Interestingly, next week, I'm filming with a young girl. I say a young girl, she's a woman. Jamie Chadwick, who is an up-and-coming Aston Martin racer. And really people are saying like she's awesome and she could be great and she could get right up there. So if she gets the necessary funding and stuff, why not? And in America they have big Danica Patrick. I mean, big female racing stars. But I think it's the wrong way to go about it. I understand Liberty trying to be like all PC like and go with the way the world's going, but it felt like a bit of an overstep, a bit too much. Like,
if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was really calling out saying that Grid Girls were that awful. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is that I think Liberty need to be a bit careful. I'm very excited by everything they're doing. I think it's great that they're involved with the sport. They are trying to push the sport forward, which it needs to do. But I think they've got to be careful that they don't remove some really essential or iconic parts of the sport. And I'm not saying Grid Girls was necessarily like an essential part. I don't think anyone's really going to care at the races that there aren't Grid Girls. But you start with the small pebbles and the big rocks start to fall. I'm a prophet, I just...
It's not a bad saying, isn't it?
No. But you know, that's what I mean. Next thing we know, we're going to be losing iconic, European races, or, all the cars are going to become the same. And I'm just... It's a nerve-wracking time, I think, for F1.
Yeah.
Because the racing is okay, but not great. There's not a huge number of international manufacturers in the sport, apart from Alfa Romeo coming back this year.
Are they? Yeah, they are.
Alfa Romeo bought into Sauber, so that's exciting. But yeah, anyway... The whole Grid Girls thing just made me a little nervous rather than
going... Will Alpha get round? What? Or would it be another McLaren?
What did you say?
Will Alpha get round? Would it be another McLaren?
It's going to have a Ferrari engine, mate. So probably not. And then the final topic today, which is one that I think we're both going to struggle with a bit. Cars we think are underrated. Underrated cars. Now, I need to think about this because I haven't had a chance yet. Tony, you did have a thing. You came up with a quite a good idea just before we started recording, which was
so I think the XF Jag is an underrated car as a normal everyday saloon,
as an everyday motorway beater.
Because
good chassis, good, or
they
just...
drive so much better than the 5 Series and the Merc and the Audi as a car to drive, a bit more luxurious. But people don't buy them, they buy the German one.
It's Jag are still fighting that kind of stigma, aren't they?
It's depreciation. It's a lot of things. And did you see the statistic that came out the other day where they sold 200,000 cars worldwide last year, Jaguar?
Right? Really?
Audi sold 8 million.
Was that a Grand Tour fact? I think it might be. It's a good one. No, but it's a good fact. It's an interesting one. Yeah, it's weird because it's been quite a Jag-themed episode, but everyone knows I love the brand, and they definitely are going in the right direction, and it's interesting that you think the XF is underrated, because I hear it a lot about the XC as well, which is why a lot of people were upset that they didn't make an XC SVR, like a, VA XC.
They went
straight to the Project 8,
because
people feel like that chassis, would have been great with a big hunky V8. Okay, so XF, I'm going to say something which I think the audience will collectively sigh at. A bath. Do you know?
Is that underrated though?
Yes, because the majority of people, and the majority of people on my main channel, Seen Through Glass, did like to tell me that I was driving my girlfriend's car the entire time, or just a woman's, or just a crappy bubble car. But you think they're cool because you drove one. Yeah. When I bought it, Tony, you ripped into me like everyone else. You thought I was a nutter.
No, I thought you was a nutter because. One, the price you paid for it.
Fair.
This not supplied by me, by the way,
fair.
Guys.
Yes, it was not.
just went in and said, I bought it.
I literally texted Tony. I went in to buy a 595. Called Tony. Tony, I bought a 695. It's extremely expensive. It's got carbon fibre on it. Though.
When you told me how much it was, I went, what?
Yeah, everyone went, what?
The normal bath, the normal six. There.
But I still think people knock them. I still think people just go, oh, crappy little Fiat 500. And... the people that have driven in a bath, spent time in them, absolutely adore them. It's such a characterful car. Like, it gives you so much joy, but they get knocked so easily. And I genuinely think they're underrated. And even when we did the hot hatch tour, everyone's like, oh, Sam, the bath, like, oh, move on. But it was amazing.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. And the noise and, as I say, the smile that they bring to your faces are brilliant. So I genuinely feel like if you haven't had the chance to actually experience in a bath, get behind the wheel of one, it will change your whole idea about it.
I've got one in stock.
Do you? What have you got?
A grey one.
Do you? 595?
Yeah.
Which series? Do you know?
Competizione.
The brand new one?
60, no. 65.
Okay, old one. Series 4. Series 3.
But it's got the tan leather.
Oh, Hello.
Hello.
Love a bit of tan leather. Any other cars that we think are underrated?
But you know what? Cars in general are so good these days.
So good.
Even
okay.
Focus.
I'm just speaking about, because this is personal experience, things that pop into my head. Mazda. CX-5.
Yeah.
And you know what? Actually, quite a few people, again, over on the main channel and also on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that, were being very complimentary of the Mazda, because I think it's a car that people do own and have out there. I was so pleasantly surprised. I went in there with not very many expectations, but not knowing what to expect. And was really pleasantly surprised. It had all the kit that any car should have. The interior felt high quality. It was fine to drive. I'm not going to say it's great to drive.
It won't break.
Yeah. Like, I really was impressed. I was genuinely impressed. Not a car that I want, but I was really impressed. And I think they are underrated. You don't hear a lot of people lusting after Mazdas, I don't think.
But you'd similarly say that about probably the Qashqai or the Sportage.
Okay.
Because they all compete with each other.
Sure.
But they probably buy them before they buy the Mazda,
yes.
I would say.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So, yeah, that's definitely a car or you know, even a brand these days, apart from obviously the MX-5, that I think is a little underrated.
I'll tell you what else is another good car.
Go on.
The new Tiguan.
Tiguan.
The Tiguan.
Tiguan.
That is a very good car.
All these little baby SUVs, though, yeah. They're so good, aren't
they're
they?
They're so good.
They're so good. You can't knock them. And I think, you know, the E-Pace, we had the E-Pace experience, which was great. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Well, the thing which is interesting about the E-Pace is all the motoring journalists love to get on social media and tell us how all us influencers are completely mad and wrong and say that everything's brilliant, say that everything's great. I think the biggest thing that the journalists missed from the E-Pace was the fact that I...
Was the launch.
Well, no, yeah. No, they went on the launch, you fool. Yeah, three weeks before us. That I think is that any E-Pace buyer will not care how it drives, in my opinion.
Okay.
I believe that E-Pace buyers will be buying that car for the looks, for the badge, for the feel. The car, it has proper character. It's called the Cub. They called it the Cub in development. It's got these little Cubs, you know,
so
stickers all over
it. So what is it, Q3 rival?
Yeah, Q3 rival, Evoque rival.
Okay.
Not Tiguan?
Yeah, possibly.
And the journalists attacked it for not being the greatest Jag out there, you know, clunky gearbox and a bit floaty. I don't think anyone who's going to buy the E-Pace will care, honestly. Like,
tracking it.
That's what I mean. And and so this is, you know, that was an interesting moment, I thought, that, you know, I know the journalists don't always see us in the greatest eye. I love the majority of the automotive journalists. It's still how I read about and learn about cars. So it's a shame sometimes when some of them attack influencers in general. But I think that was one area where they were being a little bit blind or naive. They were getting very upset that a lot of influencers were being very complimentary about the E-Pace and saying that, you know, this is where influencers are wrong. But as I say, I just think... For a second, stop talking about understeer at 30 miles an hour and talk about who are the E-Pace buyers.
Yeah.
Who are they? And the majority of them were probably there on that press drive. They're, you know, young families and models. And
that's it. And they're going to school.
They're going to school. That's who the influencers are. So, yes, lots of underrated cars out there, basically, is what we're trying to say. And I think that probably brings us nicely to the end of today's podcast. We rushed through that a bit, didn't we? That was a quick 35 minutes, no?
Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to talk about today?
Well, there was, but we ran out of time.
We did. Anyway, I hope you guys have enjoyed it. I think super interesting conversation about buying cars, how to buy cars, tricks of the trade. Definitely something we need to pick up again. Onwards is my quest or my desire for a lightweight, hardcore F-Type. Again, another episode, I think, to come on that very soon. And now you'll have the update on the 718 Cayman. So... I think I put a productive day. I hope you've enjoyed it. As I say, if you are watching here on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button. We want to climb up those subscriber numbers. Make sure you turn on notifications. We do an episode every week, Sunday evenings. Not at a set time, because it just depends on when we get them out. But Sunday evenings, there will be a new episode. However, if you want to listen to us, maybe on your commute, on your way to work, when you're traveling, you can find us on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass or on iTunes podcast by searching Seen Through Glass or Behind the Glass. Tony, any final words?
No.
Great, perfect.
Good evening.
Thanks for watching, guys. Catch up with you soon.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.